It's always an honor to be able to share the pulpit with Pastor Marty, because I know he doesn't give it up. You know, he really puts thought and prayer into that. It's a big thing. So I always consider it a very humble experience when I'm up here. And tonight, we in TAG, we've been talking about worship. And we've been going through what worship is. And tonight, we're actually finishing the series over here. And we're going to talk about worship as a lifestyle. And so just to go over some things, the first week we talked about the history of worship. We talked about how the glory of God was in the temple, the Ark of the Covenant, and the high priest had to go through a process before he could even go into that room and worship God. It was a serious thing. But then when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn, and we're able to freely and confidently worship Jesus. So that was week one over at TAG. Week two was, why do we sing? Why do we even sing? Like, why do you walk into church and everyone's singing? And we learned that we sing to glorify God. The Bible says to sing to the Lord a new song. We sing to face the trials of life. When Paul and Silas were in prison, what did they do? They sang and they worshiped God. And then what? The chains were broke loose. People were saved. So we sing through the trials, and we sing to change the atmosphere that we are in. When Saul was being tormented by evil spirits, David would come in, he would play music, he would sing, and at that moment, the Bible says, the atmosphere changed, the demons would leave. So that is why we sing. And then tonight, we learned last week, praise versus worship. It's not just praise songs are the happy songs and worship songs are the slow songs. It has a bigger meaning, deeper meaning than that. Praise is thanking God for what he's done, while worship is honoring God for who he is. Praise, we don't praise God with requests. We don't come to God and praise and be like, God, I need you to do this and I want you to do that. But we praise God for what he's done. I thank you, God, for delivering me. I thank you, God, for saving me. I thank you, God, for dying on the cross. And then, which always will lead into worship. And worship is, we love you, we honor you because of who you are in our lives. You're a good Father. You're a good God. And even if you've never done anything else for me, because you are God, I'm going to worship you. And so the third week, that's what we did last week. We did praise versus worship. And then tonight you get to hear some thoughts on worship as a lifestyle, how to live a lifestyle of worship. Because worship, and I'm going to pray really quick. God, I do thank you again for this moment tonight, for this time tonight. Thank you for all the kids just being able to lift up your name and worship. And I just pray, God, that as we share in the next few moments, take me out of the equation, God, more of you and less of me. In Jesus' name, amen. So worship is more than an event that happens on a Sunday morning or a Thursday night. It's more than just singing and raising our hands. Although it has a lot to do with how worship and praise is, it shouldn't stop or begin there. What if, I just thought of this question the other day when I was thinking about this, what if when we came into a worship service on a Sunday morning or a Thursday night, what if it didn't take two or three or four songs for us to finally get into worship? What if it didn't take the worship leader to be like, come on, let's do this. Let's lift up our hands. Let's jump for joy. What if it didn't take the worship leader to actually try to almost get us to get into worship? What if we lived as God's people 24/7 worshiping and praising God? And then when we came together, first song, bam, we're bringing the house down because we're already connected throughout the week. We're living a lifestyle of worship. So the word itself, worship, means the act of showing respect and love for a God. That's what the Webster Dictionary says. The act of showing respect and love for a God. And the word lifestyle means a particular way of living. The way a person lives or a group of people live. So if we as Christians are living a particular way, loving God, and our lives should reflect and show respect and love to our God, then we should be living a lifestyle of worship. Because everywhere that we go, everything that we do should be honoring and showing respect to the God that we love in worship. And that is why worship is not just an event. It is a lifestyle, and we need to learn how to live in that mode. Thank you.
All right, I'd like to share some scripture with you guys. As we talk about worship in our life, worship as our lifestyle, if you'll open to John 4 with me. Anyone in here remember when you'd open a Bible and you'd hear all of the page flipping? I kind of miss that. Okay, so we're picking up John 4, verse 7. All right. So when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, drank from it himself, and did also his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Verse 13, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will be in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go and call your husbands and come back." She said, "I have no husbands." Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is very true." Verse 19, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, there is a time coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." So that was a lot. But the first thing we notice, one of the first things, is even the woman brings this up. She says, "I'm a Samaritan. What are you doing talking to me? This isn't allowed." And to me, this shows that God can break those barriers of thinking, I'm not the select group that's for God. You know, she's thinking to myself, who do you think I am? You're talking to me? And he's showing her, my promises, my spirit, my breakthrough isn't just for the ones that you think it's for, but it's also for you. And the second thing, we see that he calls her out. He calls her out pretty outright. He's like, "Well, yeah, you're right. You don't have a husband." And he's calling out her disobedience and her unfaithfulness to her husbands and her many husbands. And then the third thing is he tells her that one day, because she says, "Well, you know, we always worshiped on this mountain, and you guys say we have to go worship in the temple." And he says, "One day, and that day is here, it's right now, you will be able to worship not depending on your location, not depending on what walls you're in, not even depending on who you're with, but you will worship in spirit and in truth." So with that first thing, maybe you're here and you feel, okay, you know, you're talking about worship, and I get it, but it's not for me. And that's where she was at, especially with the gift that he was giving her. And you're here because it is for you. If Jesus has set you free, this worship, what we're speaking on, what we're preaching on, it is for you. You're not secluded from it. You're not good enough from it. It is for you. The second thing, true worship displays itself in obedience and submission to God's voice, when it's even sometimes when it's hard to hear. I'm sure it was, although it doesn't really say it, she's like, yeah, sir, you're a prophet. But I'm sure she was like, dang, like, that's hard to hear, you know? And I think there's a lot of times where we can be having this conversation with God, and he can call us out on something. He can tell us to do something, and it's not always an easy thing to hear, and it's not always an easy thing to obey, and it's not always an easy thing to do. But when you hear him, and you obey, and you submit, that's also worship. And then the third thing, the Holy Spirit resides in us. That is what I get so excited about this scripture. That's what I specifically wanted to pull out of this scripture. Is he says, don't worry about the temple. Don't worry about the mountain. It's me. And that's why he says, it's here. It's now. It's not coming. It's here, because he had come. Because the Holy Spirit resides in us. If you're saved by the blood of Jesus, if he's your Lord, the Holy Spirit resides in you. You are the temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know that you yourself are God's temple, and that his Spirit lives in you? So true worship is obedience, it's submission, it's adoration of God. What are you obeying, submitting to, and adoring more than God? Because we can worship other things, not just God, but he does call us to worship him alone. And that's definitely a huge part of a lifestyle of worship. God desires for us to give ourselves to him in spirit and in truth, meaning in truth. You mean it. It's real. It's coming from your heart. It's coming from your spirit. It's not just a show. And John 4:23, I already read, it says, that's what the Father seeks. He seeks that from you. He seeks that true worship from you. A friend of mine said this, and it completely opened my eyes to what worship is. To give glory to God, right? You hear it. To give glory to God, I think of that as worship. To give glory to God is to give yourself to God. For God says, man is the glory of God. So 1 Corinthians 11:7 says, a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. Man, us, we're the image and glory of God. If you're to give God glory, if you're to worship him, if you're to praise him, if we're the glory of God, how other to give him glory than to give ourselves to him, to give our life to him, to obey him, submit to him, adore him more than anything else. If we are saved by the blood of Christ, our body is God's temple, filled with the Holy Spirit, a picture of his glory. How cool is that? A picture of his glory that should overflow into every part of who we are.
So how can we honor God with this lifestyle of worship? Because like Nicole said, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're continually walking around supposed to being the light of the world. Supposed, you know, we are the only Jesus some people will ever see, right? So are we tuned into that Holy Spirit throughout the week? So just for myself, I have three things, because that's how I like to teach, three things that really have helped me live a lifestyle of worship, and I hope it encourages you to live that lifestyle as well. So the first thing that we have to do to walk in the Holy Spirit and walk with that glory of God in us is we have to do a heart check. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What are you focusing on during worship? Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? And I thought about a microwave bag of popcorn. Do you ever notice that when you microwave popcorn, that not all of the kernels pop. I don't think I've ever popped a bag of popcorn where all of the kernels in that bag pop. There's always at least two or three kernels at the bottom of the bag that don't even get touched, and yet they're underneath the same influence of heat. They're all in the same thing. And I sometimes wonder why during a worship service some people can really be sensing God. Like, they are just going at it. They're, like, sweating. They're jumping. They are just, like, having this whole Jesus experience. And you could be sitting next to them like this. And then this person's like, yeah! And this person's like... Like, that just amazes me, because one person is totally feeling Jesus and loving Jesus, and then this person is not feeling anything at all, and yet they're under the same experience of worship. Why is that? Well, in a microwave bag of popcorn, the kernels that don't pop have lost the moisture needed to pop in the microwave. And as Christians, the ones that aren't sensing and really feeling and understanding worship, we have lost the meaning behind it. We've lost the purpose as to why we're even worshiping God, because of what's going on around us. And so we just give up. We're like, I don't feel Jesus, whatever. I don't even know why I'm here. What is he doing? Why is he jumping? What is going on? God, this is stupid. What is happening? Right? And so we're like, we don't even understand. And yet God's there, and two people can feel two different things. So when I notice that when I'm feeling that way, because I feel that way too, sometimes I'm just like, oh, come on. I have to be like, okay, God, time to do a heart check. What's going on in my heart that is allowing me to feel this way during worship? And so I say, you know, God, check my attitude. Is it my attitude that's off? Because Philippians 2:14-15 says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. God, is something, am I doing something that I'm just like mad about? Like, what's going on? Is my attitude on point? Is it off point? Because when it's off, then I get mad during worship. All right, God, check my attitude. God, is it forgiveness? Am I not forgiving someone? Is that blocking me from being able to worship you? So I'm like, God, help me to forgive whatever it is. Matthew 6:14-15 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. That's powerful and scary. So is it forgiveness, unforgiveness in my heart that's keeping me from really opening up and worshiping God? And if it is, God, help me to forgive that person, or help me to ask for forgiveness. I say, God, take out of me what is wrong. David said in Psalm 51:10, he said, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit in me. God, get that out, because I want to be able to worship you. Is it bitterness? Sometimes we allow bitterness to creep into our hearts and to our minds, and it stops. It will stop the flow of God in your life if you become bitter. I love this story in 1 Samuel 30. You'll have to read it. I'm just giving you a scripture of it. But they were at war, and the people did something to everyone's sons and daughters. They were dead. Like, yeah, not cool. But David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. David's the leader. He's the main man. And he was greatly distressed because his men around him were talking about him, about stoning him. Because each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. They were bitter. And that bitterness led them to thinking they're going to stone their leader. But David found strength in the Lord his God. David didn't allow himself to get bitter over what somebody said or somebody did. I mean, these guys had the right to be. It's their kids. Trust me, when you have kids, you're like, let's go. But we can't allow ourselves to become bitter, because it stops the flow of God in our lives. We can get bitter or we can get better. D- David, the man after God's own heart, continually did a heart check, continually asked God, God, check my heart. What's going on in there? Why? What's stopping me from worshiping you right now? Check my heart. And how can we be a witness in our lifestyle of worship if our hearts are off? Let's do a heart check. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So to live a lifestyle of worship, we have to do a heart check. And those heart checks are hard sometimes. But if you're willing to confront whatever is going on in here, you'll be able to push through to really worship God. The second thing is we have to stay connected throughout the week. We have to stay connected throughout the week. When my phone dies, I find a charger and I connect it to a power source. And sometimes I have to do that 2-3 times a day, right? I have to connect it to a power source. And if I don't connect it, it's done. I can't use it. I can't check my email. I can't, you know, text everyone I need to text. It's gone. I have to connect it to a power source. And that's what we have to do in our lifestyle of worship to God. We have to stay connected to Him throughout the week. And in order to do that, worship must become a habit in our routine. It has to be a habit. It can't just be something that we do on a Thursday or a Sunday. It has to become habit. It won't happen automatically. It may once, and then you walk out of here, and then you come back in expecting that same experience. But if you don't stay connected to Him throughout the week, it's not going to happen. It's like, I would rather eat ice cream than salad any day. You want a way to my heart? Give me some ice cream. What do you want to do for your birthday? Go to ice cream. What do you want to do for your anniversary? Go to ice cream. Give me sprinkles. Like, I love ice cream. So, but if I ate that all the time, that would not be good. I'd look like a big old ball of ice cream. So I have to make that a habit not to do that, right? And it's not going to happen automatically. I would rather eat cookies than broccoli, but I have to make a decision when I get up in the morning that I'm going to eat better and do things that are good for my body. Just like when I wake up in the morning, I have to make a decision that I'm going to sacrifice to God everything I do throughout the week. It's a decision that I have to make. It doesn't always happen automatically. Romans 12:1-2 says, therefore, I urge you, brother and sister, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. We have to offer ourselves up as a sacrifice of worship. A sacrifice of worship. That's what he says. That's what proper worship is to offer ourselves up as a sacrifice of worship. How do we do that? We do that with our time. We do that with our talents. We do that in service to him. But we are the sacrifice that he wants most. And that is true and pleasing worship. Matthew 22:37 says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind. Matthew 6:33 says, seek him first, seek God first, seek the kingdom of God first, and then all these things will be added unto you. We have to connect daily to him. We have to connect to him in our prayers. Are we talking to him? David, again, he talked to God morning, noon, and night. He talked to him in the morning. Psalm 119:147 says, I rise before dawn and I cry out for help. I have put my hope in your word. The morning one I'm working on, that one's hard. I don't want to sacrifice my sleep. That one's hard for me. I'm working on it. God's really been challenging me on it. Because David, he rose even before everybody else was up. And he was talking to God. And then it says at Psalm 119:62, it says at midnight, I got that one. I'm good there. At midnight, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. And then Psalm 119:164, it says 7 times a day, I praise you for your righteous laws. 7 times a day. That tells me that David had continual praise on his lips, continual worship, continual connection to God throughout his days. Living every moment in the wonder of worship will change the way you live every day. What are we listening to? The music that we put in our ears, it affects your spirit. Are you listening to God-honoring music? What are we watching? What are we looking at? It'll affect your spirit. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Because we can listen to, you know, blah, 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 blah. Or we can listen to positive things. What are we listening to? What are we allowing to take up our time? Because all of our life must be connected to God to show that we're living a lifestyle of worship. Practice being a worshiper, and you will begin to live that lifestyle of worship. Make it a habit. Make it a practice to do that. And then the third thing we have to learn is that we have to learn that everything, and it goes along with the last one, but everything we do is worship to God. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord and not for man. Whatever we do, no matter what it is, we should be working for the Lord and not for man. But how do we do that? How do we do that? Because there's times where I'm doing stuff and I'm like, oh, gosh, I know my attitude is not right. I know I'm not looking at it as if I'm working for God or doing it for God. Well, it tells us in the Bible we can do it with Jesus' help. In Hebrews 13, it says, with Jesus' help, let us continually offer our sacrifice of praise to God by proclaiming the glory of his name. Don't forget to do good and to share what you have with those in need, for such sacrifices are very pleasing to God. There it is, continually. How do we do it? With Jesus' help. We can't do a lifestyle of worship without his help, because that's when we go back to the way we were. We need Jesus. If we didn't, we wouldn't be here. With Jesus' help, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise. We should be living a lifestyle of worship continually, offering our sacrifice of praise, because a worship lifestyle is a sacrifice. A worship lifestyle helps others. Therefore, to become a worshiper, I must repeatedly worship. Make it a practice that when you're working, you're worshiping God. When you're driving, you're worshiping God. When you're at the grocery store, you're worshiping God. When you're working on your car, you're worshiping God. When you're cleaning, you're worshiping God. When you're serving others, you're worshiping God. In your family, you're worshiping God. With your spouse, you're worshiping God. Make that a habit. Let it be infused in everything that you do. Don't make worship a Sunday morning or a Thursday night thing. Make it a lifestyle of praise. Because sometimes this is what we do. We compartmentalize our walk with God, like a TV dinner. I used to love getting these when I was a kid. I was wondering if they were still blue. It's awful. My kids, I was getting them, and they're like, I want one. So I let them have one, and I'm like, it's really gross. They loved it. I don't know what it is about TV dinners. But this is what we do with our life. If you notice in a TV dinner, and this is just a small one, there's actually much bigger ones. It's ridiculous. There's like 7 compartments of food, and every compartment has its own section of food. You have your corn, you have some nasty pudding, you have some chicken, and it's all in different spaces. And it works. None of your food has to mush together, nothing. But if you have a chicken pot pie, everything's just jammed right in there, right? It's all fused in there. It would take forever to take out the carrots, to take out the peas, to take out the chicken. You can't really separate the gravy in there. Like, it's just all in there, all of it. And that's what we do with God. We put God in a compartment. And we're like, okay, Sunday morning, I'll take you out. It's good, God. We walk out of church, and I'll put you back in your place. Thursday night, I'll take you out again. I'll serve you. I'll love you. And then I'll put you back in your place. But that's not what God asks of us. He asks us to infuse him in our lives, to put him in everything that we do. He wants to be a part of everything. He wants to be infused in our life. He doesn't want us to have to separate him from who we are and what we do. Our lifestyle worship should be everywhere we go. In every situation, in everything that we say, in everything that we do, in everything that we watch, in our friendships, in our families, it should be one thing. We shouldn't take God out just during worship and just during praise. God wants to be in everything, in every part, not just a small portion of it. Adam and Eve, they got to walk in the garden. It was perfect, the Bible says. They got to walk with God and they got to talk with God. It was a perfect world. They got to worship God. They got to love God and God loved them. And it was amazing until what happened? Sin came in the world. And when sin came into the world, it put a block on how we worship God. And that's why we continually have to push through. We have to push out of the way the distractions. We can't let anything come into our minds. That's why it's so careful what we're looking at, so careful what we're listening to. We were formed to worship God. That's why we were made. That's why Adam and Eve were made. They were formed to have this perfect relationship with God. Isaiah 43:21 says, "The people I formed for myself, that they might proclaim my praise." That's what we are to do with our lives. And when everybody looks at us, they should know, there they go. They're not going to do that. They have God in their life. How are they getting through that? Oh, they have God in their life. What are they doing out? They got God in their life. It's infused in everything. Everything that we do should be a lifestyle of worship. We are the glory of God. And we should shine that glory wherever we go. Not just on a Sunday morning and a Thursday night. We come into church to get revived, to get energized. But man, when that music starts, we should be praising God for who he is and what he's done. It shouldn't have to take work for us to say, "I love you, God." Because when our heart's checked and we're connected throughout the week he's already infused in everything that we do, this is going to come natural. This is just going to happen. If we can all stand tonight, I ask Ryan and Jenna to sing this song. God breathed life into us to praise and honor God. And as we sing this song, don't be afraid to lift your hands. Don't be afraid to ask God to check your heart, check your spirit. Ask him to help you stay connected throughout the week in worship. And ask him how you can really live a lifestyle of worship. Mm-hmm.